Well, if you have a Bible with you, that'll be really handy. Look up to John, or maybe you have a Bible on your phone. That's also fine. I got a call last week. Maybe you've got one of these calls. I got a call last week from the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. A man with an Indian accent called me up, and he said he was from the FBI, and that I had been caught selling drugs. I'm not making this up. I've been selling drugs, and I would shortly be arrested, and I'd be going to jail. I thanked him for the warning and hung up, and this was the point he decided to tell me to go away, except in slightly more colorful language. It was obviously a prank call. Anyone else had this? Just me? Maybe I have been dealing drugs. Obviously a prank, a lie, a deception. It was designed to do something. Joanne and I aren't quite sure where that phone call was going. I'm still not sure what he was after, but to avoid the trap, to avoid the lie, I had to know a few things. One, the FBI has no jurisdiction in Northern Ireland, last I checked. The FBI don't call ahead to tell you they'll be arresting you. And the FBI don't tend to swear at you over the phone. In other words, the truth kept me safe and free from arrest and jail. And perhaps more importantly, the truth kept me from worrying. John has been reminding us to love one another and the gospel, to be obedient to what it says. And he's doing all of that because what he says next in his letter. I say this, love each other, walk in the truth. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Do you know, I've been getting the feeling that as we have heard this section read out the last couple of weeks, that many of us have been uncomfortable with it. Would that be fair? Does this section make us squirm a little bit? Because deceivers, antichrists, sorry, there we are. These are not pleasant terms, but John uses them because he loves the church and he wants to give us the warning. Now, the logic of coming to church today and hearing this together is that we still need the warning. Not much has changed. And the good news, the gospel is still the answer. It's the truth that we cling to, we obey it in order to be saved, because Jesus is the way, truth, and life. In other words, he will keep us safe. He will keep us out of jail, if you like. He will keep us from worrying too much. We'll start with these deceivers. It might seem obvious to you that not everyone believes the gospel. John's pushing love and truth and obedience for this reason. I say this because many deceivers are out there in the world. That means that people have gone out into the world from the church. Now, John talks about this quite a bit. In 1 John, he refers to former church members like this. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they'd belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. It's a bit wordy, but you get the point. He's referring here and in 2 John to people who have stopped believing in Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus was just a man, so he's a good example, but he can't save us from sin. That you have to do all by yourself. That's the idea. And that is unacceptable to to John and the church, because it's not true. If you and I are the ones who have to just pull up our socks and save ourselves, then we can forget it. We're cooked. It's over. Mom will go home. And yet, we can still hear this teaching that Jesus was just a man in the world around us. For the Jews, for example, he's a prophet. He's an interesting teacher, but not the Son of God or the Messiah. In the world, capital W, which will reliably always choose its own way rather than God's way, Jesus might not be real at all. There'll be questions, won't there? Was there really a man called Jesus? Did he even exist? There'll be questions for sure about the resurrection. Or worse than that, maybe Jesus gets reduced down and boxed up, whatever cause a person might think of. I remember Channel 4 running a series of programs. It was the big anniversary of the King James Bible. Do you remember those? Channel 4 ran a whole series of these. One of the episodes was inevitably about Jesus. And do you know who they got to present the episode on Jesus? Jerry Adams. For Jerry Adams, Jesus wasn't the Son of God or the Savior of the world. He was a freedom fighter from a small native community, throwing off the shackles of imperial rule. Sound familiar? What about us, though? Does this section of 2 John have anything for us? Well, it must, because here we sit, and here we are, being warned that some people will leave the church because they don't believe in Jesus, or they've stopped believing. Now, I'm sure that happens all the time. But the warning is a bit more than that. It's about people who reject the real, the biblical Jesus and go about deceiving others. Do you see the difference? Some people just don't believe and they get on with it. Some don't believe and go after the church. They become those stumbling blocks to others that Jesus refers to. They are the enemies of the church and the gospel. And Jesus is pretty strong on this one. He said this. Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. And John's language is the same, isn't it? Pretty strong. He drops a word here that makes us very uncomfortable. Antichrist. I feel like a free pea preacher when I say that. Antichrist is one of those words that you don't throw around too lightly. It's not used lightly here either, though. Let's take a look. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, we might have some notion of the devil as the Antichrist, capital A. And that's true. You can find that in the Bible. What's unusual here is that former members of the church are described as deceivers and antichrists, small a. And let me tell you, that's the only place in the whole Bible where that happens. It's unusual. But what's most likely to be going on here is that anyone who denies Jesus, by definition, is against him. They are anti-Christ. That's it. And since Jesus is the truth, capital T, then those people are deceivers and the truth isn't in them. That should seem fair enough to us. Not everyone believes in Jesus. Not everyone stays in the church. There are people out there who are actively against Jesus. It's the next bit that might have caught our eyes in a more confusing way. Deal with this very quickly. It's a bit small, maybe. Watch out that you don't lose what we have worked for, but you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Really important to keep in mind who we're talking about. We're talking not about our friends who have maybe found all of this very difficult the past 18 months. We're not talking about friends who have maybe just drifted a little bit in their faith. We're not talking about the folks we're hoping to see back at church. Those people are the subject of our love and our prayers. We keep teaching the gospel. John is rejecting false teachers, those who are actively against the church. It's anyone who runs ahead and does not continue is who's in mind. John has worked really hard to make the gospel clear, and it gives him great joy to see people walking in the truth. But if people aren't doing that, then they don't have God. And if that's not true, they don't have life. Now, again, maybe I've lost you at this point. Maybe you're thinking, what has this got to do with me? Where does this connect with my life? But it's found in whatever new thing comes into the church every now and again. I think that's what John's getting at when he says, anyone who runs ahead. If you glance back about 20 years or so, you can see lots of new ideas in the church, dangerous teaching, confusing things. And sometimes these things get popular. I'll invite controversy by mentioning one. The Toronto Blessing. 20-odd years ago, you can see this. A little church by the airport in Toronto started experiencing the Spirit in a new way. And new is the clue that something might be off. People would fall on the floor. They would bark like dogs. They would laugh uncontrollably for hours on end. And this was taken as a sign of the new age of the church right before Jesus came back. That all happened in 1994. And lots were taken in by it. Now, some will say that's a false teaching. It showed itself to be controversial because it bore little resemblance to the Holy Spirit of the Bible. Some would say your biggest clue is that in 1994, when this happened, the little Toronto church was Toronto's most popular tourist attraction. And lots of churches around the world embraced this new wave and this new teaching. Some didn't. Now, it came down to what John's saying here. If it doesn't match what Jesus said, stay clear of it. And that's the alternative he offers here. God is the constant, truthful solution to all these dangers and false teachers. Look what he says. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. When John says we can have God, he means that we can have his Son and his teaching and eternal life. Again, he said this before in his first letter. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus put it this way. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's the answer to the lie of the garden we heard earlier. Love, obedience, a home with God, and reminders from the Holy Spirit. We're almost there. Stay with me. Where are we then? What's going on here this morning? Well, John has told us that there'll be deceivers and people who are against Jesus. And because they're against God, they don't have the truth. And then he points us again for the third week running to love, obedience, and eternal life. And if you're paying attention, folks, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the way we know the difference between the lies and the truth. What did Jesus say? Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. He will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said. Let's pray. Father, all of us are susceptible to the new and the shiny. We change jobs, homes, cars, and possessions. We like to update and keep up with the Joneses. Father, some of us might confess that your truths have become stale to us. We might admit that we find them difficult to understand or follow. But what your Son has said to us, we so want to be true. We want them to be the reality of our lives. We want to love as he loved. We know that means obedience to you. And so we pray for the help to act in faith. And Father, we all need a teacher to show us the truth and remind us of Jesus. You've given your Spirit for just that, to show us and remind us of Jesus. So make these things real to us so that we might feel the breath of real life sweep through us, that we might be the truth tellers, the real lovers that the church and the world need. Father, for all that we might pray for the world at the moment, you remain its hope and its answer. Father, we pray that that might be so obvious in the church that the world cannot ignore it, that we would be the city on the hill, that we would be the lamp on a stand that gives light to everyone. Father, help us shine our light before others that they might see our good deeds and glorify you. Father, we need your help. We pray for it. Some of us are looking forward to things. Some of us are worried about things. Some of us just don't know where we're at. So help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.